la, 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 la.
Hello, hello, hello.
Me they, I owe you, I owe you.
What the fuck? Welcome to Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons. Shit just got a lot weirder.
I don't know where that came from. I want to say like Andy Griffith Show or some one of those things that like Dad used to watch. But it was like your vocal warm-up.
me they, I owe you, I owe you.
We'll have to ask Dad. Yep, I don't know where that.
No idea what to talk about.
I don't know where that came from. Anyways, hi, welcome to our weirdo show.
Full of weirdos and weirdness.
So we are a couple of ex-Mormon sisters who have made continually across the span of our lives.
Just horrible decisions.
Yeah, real bad choices. Usually fueled by drugs.
And lots, copious amounts of alcohol.
Yeah, a lot of alcohol. Yeah, so you're here to hear us tell you stories.
About those times.
And all the stupid shit we've done.
And, you know, which made our shit awesome.
Sort of. It's actually kind of hard to do this one today. It's bittersweet.
This one's a bummer.
Just because our whole sort of premise and our whole shtick is how much fun we've had doing drugs, and just a fucking horrible, horrible tragedy happened last week to somebody that we really love, involving drugs. This girl took one Percocet, yep, and didn't wake up in the morning because it was laced with fucking fentanyl.
Fucking fentanyl.
And so, like, I don't know. And the girl was 16 years old.
Right.
She didn't even have a chance to, like, get started.
Right. I mean, it's something clearly you and I both have done many times.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I started around 13, just like with pot and drinking. And then by the time I was 16, I was doing acid and things like that. So, you know, it's kind of how you figure out who you are and what you're doing. And some people don't experiment with it, but most people do. And the fact that it got cut short because some fucking drug dealer, you know, decided to make a wider margin of profit by, you know, cutting pills that they have and adding fentanyl in it for more of an effect, but it's completely not able to be regulated. So, you know, you don't know. It's a roll of the dice. You have no idea. You could have a whole, like, a pile of pills and 20 will be fine, but one just has to have that minuscule more fentanyl in it and it's gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah, it's like the size of a grain of sand of fentanyl will end your life.
Right.
And it's not just, I mean, the thing is this affects everybody, and you've heard about it. We've all heard about it for years and years, right, and years, the opioid epidemic and this and that. And you think of, you know, like fucking heroin addicts shooting up in the street, but it's not like this will affect this can and does affect everybody. It's, I mean, even the straightest, straight-laced anybody takes a Percocet when they're feeling, right, pain, you know, even if they're not experimenting with drugs.
Right.
And, you know, these pills are made to look fake. I mean, they're made to look real. They're fakes, right, that are made to look real using a synthetic opioid that's really cheap to make and really fucking deadly.
I wonder, do they have, because for me personally, whenever I, even to this day, if someone's like, Charlotte, you want a Vicodin or whatever? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I usually put it in a pile. But like, I always do the pill identifier on it just to see if that's actually what it is. Like,
I know they're grinding. The pill identifier meaning like you go online.
You go online. It's actually called pillidentifier.com. You can put in the shape, the color, and the imprint that's on it, and it will tell you what that is. So I do that no matter what, if I'm going to take anything that wasn't prescribed by a doctor to me. But I'm wondering if these pills have those imprints.
They do.
So they look completely legitimate.
Exactly. That, which is part of the whole fucking problem.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like, everyone's just fucking heartbroken, and there's almost like no words to even say. It's like,
right,
your emotions are just, you're laughing one minute, you're sobbing the next minute, you're pissed off the next minute. And it's just, it's been a really fucking tough week. And it shouldn't have happened. And so I've been trying to like rack my brain around what I can do besides just sit here and be helpless, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I feel like from what I've been reading and things that I've been looking up lately this past week, I feel like it's pretty, and this it's pretty obvious that there needs to be a decriminalization of drugs.
Right.
We've always thought that simply because, you know, a black kid shouldn't go to prison for 20 years for having a fucking piece of pot on him. You know right. what I mean? And that's, there's a lot of different aspects to this argument, but the argument needs to be made. And apparently Oregon just did that. They're like the first state in the country to right. decriminalize.
They can't sell drugs, but you don't go to jail for having them on you.
Right. Yeah.
So if you have a huge amount on it, it's clearly for distribution, then yeah, you're going to get pinched, but you can have a gram of pot or cocaine or even heroin yeah. on you and you won't go to jail for it, which I think is, again, a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
I think it's Sweden or somewhere like that. They decriminalized it entirely to the point where you can buy it. So, you know, they're not advocating that you do drugs, but if you're going to do them, make sure that they're regulated. You don't have to worry about this fentanyl problem. And also, I'm sorry, if it's legal, you're less likely to want to even do it anyway.
If you're a kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I've been spending a lot of time on this website called drugpolicy.org. And if you guys are interested or you want to check it out, it's pretty cool. It talks about, you know, different, you know, information on issues, places you can take action. It's got resources. And it's basically like their whole mission is to just prioritize public health and safety and curb basically the opioid crisis by, you know, dismantling the drug war. Because it's completely fucking unnecessary for people to die of an opioid overdose from taking a pill.
Yeah, right. A single pill.
That's fucking fake.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot less incentive to make those fake pills for cheap if people can get real shit.
Right. If I could go to a doctor and say, listen, this is what I want.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's not going to end it by any means. There's always like cheap black market shit, but
the whole say no to drugs, it isn't working anyways. So, you know, it just, and also, fuck, you can make taxes. Like, the government won't make money off of it, you know? So, I don't see a downside to it.
Yeah. There's an interesting argument for just now that, like, pot's been legalized in a lot of states, out here on the West Coast at least, the black market is thriving and like institutionalized, you know, dispensaries are not doing as well simply because it's really fucking expensive right. to buy it there, that's you know, so true. there's that too. Anyways, there's a lot more to think about and there's a lot more to do. And I don't know that anybody will ever be the same. And it's the fucking saddest thing that I can think of that's ever happened.
Yeah, no, I can't even wrap my head around it. I go up and down, and it was nice being able to talk to some of our friends last night about it and just kind of reminisce. And yeah. You were saying that it's like, you know, it sucks during these COVID times that you can't have funeral services. Like, there's really nothing, but you need that in order to kind of release a little bit and remember the good times and whatnot. Like, I'm having the hardest time remembering stories, and then you'll say something and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right, I totally forgot about that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it would be nice to be able to do services again,
have a memorial,
right,
you know, celebration of her life kind of a thing. So PSA,
right,
fentanyl,
fuck fentanyl,
will fucking kill you,
right?
And it's in everything. It's in cocaine, it's in heroin, it's in pills.
Right.
It's everywhere.
That I saw a 2020, yeah, real quick, there's this 2020 special about this kid who's 15, wanted to try acid, like straight A student. She just wanted to see what it was like. Bought some what she thought was acid from a drug dealer at school. And then, you know, the cops retraced it back that they bought it in China. Wasn't LSD at all. And her friend took it. The friend woke up. She didn't. And it was just because there was just a little bit more fentanyl on her tab than the other tab.
Yeah, most drugs are measured in milligrams. Fentanyl's measured in micrograms. That's how fucking right. deadly and powerful that shit is.
Well, fuck.
Yeah, we got to move on because
it's depressing.
I'm gonna start bawling, and nobody wants to listen to that on the podcast.
Unless you're into that sort of thing, which will be our new podcast.
So cheers,
cheers,
cheers, in memory of our dear friend, who we won't mention her name for privacy reasons.
Fair enough. I'm terrified to drink this drink that you made, though. It looks real fancy. There's an umbrella in it, but I saw you with your juicer and the carrots, and it's scary. It's scary.
Would I be the type of person who would put carrot juice in a cocktail?
Yeah, because you're a monster. No, it's good. What is it?
Tangerines.
Oh, perfect.
I didn't even have carrots. I don't know where you got that
from. I don't know. It was orange. It scared me.
It's tangerines, one lemon, a little bit of Cointreau, a little bit of Grand Marnier, and a little bit of Di Serrano.
That is delightful.
Thanks. I thought so, too.
As I pound it.
Yes. So, cheers.
Sweet. So, yeah. Any cool shit?
I do have some cool shit, but first of all, I want to give a special shout out to our patrons.
Oh, yeah!
And woo! Welcome our newest patron, Mark Facerberg. Thank you, Mark. I'm pretty sure I know that that's not your real name. But welcome to the inner circle of cool shit.
Yeah.
Cool shit.
Cool shit. Been watching WandaVision.
We did. That's just watched WandaVision.
Pretty good if you're into Marvel Universe.
Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. It takes a few episodes to get into it, and it's still weird, but I like it. It's weird in a good way.
I keep watching it. I like where it's going. We watched the Richard Ramirez Netflix documentary. That was some fucked up shit.
That was some fucked up shit.
We binge watched it, and I full on had like weird dreams all night. I was like, that's not good.
I actually have this little print that I got from this artist that I really like his work, named Llewellyn. You can follow him on Instagram and see his cool shit. But he has one that was like a Valentine's Day promo where it's like he would give you a free print. You know, you just pay the shipping or whatever. And it's Richard Ramirez holding up his hand with the 666 carved into it with the upside down.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought it was the pentagram. Right.
And then it's in a heart, like a lacy heart, and it says, be mine. And I thought that was so fucking funny. And then you turn it over on the other side and it's got like this goat head Valentine's, you know, macabre Valentine's thing. But then after watching that, I was like, Jesus, I'm a fucking monster.
Yeah. When you know the details, I mean, especially the abducting and raping children part, you're like, that's not as funny as it was before.
Yeah, totally. I had no idea about any of that stuff.
Neither did I. I mean, I knew he was a rapist murderer, but I didn't realize that when faces get, you know, when you see the faces of the victims, then you're like, motherfucker.
And then just throwing kids into the mix, like, That's
a whole new level of fucked upness. Yeah. And you know what the most fucked up part is for me, too? I mean, I guess it's not the most fucked up because clearly child rape is probably the pinnacle of that. But the people who want to fuck him after that.
Like, oh, yeah,
the
groupies.
Amount of women who they were, like, sending him nudes and, like, oh, and I'm not even going to say I could understand it because I couldn't understand it if he was even somewhat, like, remorseful. But he just full on says, you'll just never understand me because I'm like on a higher plane than you. And fuck off. Mm-hmm. And then he dies of cancer 20 years later on death row. Like, get rid of the death penalty if you're not going to fucking use it. Mm-hmm. And I get why it shouldn't be around. I mean, there's the West Memphis 3 and they were totally innocent. So it was a good thing that they were on death row for a long, long time because they were, you know, finally mm-hmm. released. But yeah, just get rid of the fucking death penalty.
Right. Some other cool shit I wanted to mention was Clubhouse.
Oh my God, I love Clubhouse. It's so cool.
Yeah, I thought maybe you could talk more about that because I'm just barely, you know, dipping my toes into it.
So it's really good for like education and like networking. Like, so to me, it's like a cross between Twitter and a podcast, but you can interject on it. So like, you can follow people and they can choose to follow you back or not. And so you can see what kind of groups they have. So there's a room and there's an audience and there's a stage. And if you create the room, then you're on stage and you talk about what you want to talk about. So like, let's say instead of doing this on a recorded podcast, we just did a room. Well, you and I would just start talking about what we're going to talk about and people would raise their hand and we could choose to bring them on stage. And so if they had a question for us, then we could answer it or whatever. And if they're like knowledgeable or funny and you want to keep asking them questions back or have them interject, be like, you know what, you can stay on stage. But if you're like, okay, I answered your question, fuck off, then you put them back into the audience. But it's really great. Like Oprah's on there and like Ashton Kutcher. And so like, even though they don't have rooms very often, but you have the potential to actually talk to Oprah. There's a lot of people from, I want to say card sharks, and that's not the same thing. It's the Shark Tank.
Oh. So there's a shark in it.
Is it a fish? So the people who do all those, they have rooms actually fairly often and will tell you how to, like, build your portfolio, you know, just different, like, money, financial type of stuff like that. So I was like, I've been learning a lot about the stock market on there. I've been learning, you know, connecting with a lot of other hairstylists. And yeah, just random things. There's this guy, Chris Voss. He has his own podcast and he talks. I haven't actually listened to his podcast. I've just talked to him a few times and he's super cool. And everybody thinks he's the Chris Voss that's from The Negotiator on the Masterclass and like
the Black FBI Swan guy?
Group. Yeah. I was like, so you had the Masterclass? He's like, no. It's the other Chris Voss. I was around first. It's great. But yeah, he interviews a lot of people and he's a really well-known podcaster. And so like, talking to him is like, oh, well, this is what I, you know, we have a podcast doing this. We just kind of do it for fun or whatever. But like, you get little pointers here and there. And again, network with other people that can kind of help you either cross promote with you or give you good ideas. Like one of the ideas that somebody had told me that came from another podcast that they were doing was every time he talks over his counterpart, mm-hmm. you have to take a drink. Like, not us, but like as you're listening to it. So I am notorious for talking over Mandy. Like every time I do that, you have to take a drink.
And then not if we... me, the audience has to take a drink.
But when I said you, I was looking at the microphone. I see how that would not translate. The audience would take a drink, and then let's say like we say a word a lot.
1,000%.
1,000%. Every time Mandy says 1,000%, you have to take a shot.
Listen.
Or you say, listen. You take a shot. And so there's some bar in Australia. Or no, it wasn't Australia. It was a non-English speaking country. They were listening to it to try to learn English. But then also the bartender would put it on at happy hour. And I was like, that is genius. Like, we should do that. We should make ours a drinking game.
So everybody out there, we definitely should, you should definitely at least take a sip every time somebody says, listen.
Or 1,000%.
No,
or...
if anybody says 1,000%, you have to take a shot.
Okay.
And then there should be something where you have to pound your whole drink that we say.
Right.
Jesus? No, that could be bad. We'll think about it. We'll get back to you with the official rules of the drinking game next week.
We'll be posting it on our social media, which you should follow so you can stay up to date with our drinking games and podcast fill in the blanks.
I've been making a lot of cool merch this week.
You really have been on top of it.
And I'm thinking about making some t-shirts that we could sell and just donate any of the proceeds to drugpolicy.org. I've got a pretty cool one that says fuck fentanyl. Actually, I've got two different fuck fentanyl designs, but I'm going to start working on some, you know, awareness type of t-shirts that weekend so we can do something to, I don't know, try to do something to bring awareness. But yeah, check out our social media if you want to see what we're working on.
FHE Bad Mormon Instagram, Facebook. I'm like, I don't know the links. Last night and today, I'm like, my brain is just not working.
Did you get COVID again?
I bet I did. No. Brain's not working. I don't know, man.
Well, here, have another drink. And I'll tell you something about... That's pretty much all I got. Should we hear a word from our sponsors?
I think we have some repenting to do first.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. my repentance for the week is lemonparty.org is still alive and horrible. You should go there. Lemonparty.org.
On our last podcast last week, I said that lemonparty.org was taken down, and it was for a long time. So we Googled it.
And it's back.
And it's back. And it's got a little extra detail. So any of you that remember the old lemonparty.org, it's up to date for the modern age.
Not safe for work.
Not safe for anyone. Really. Eyeballs.
True.
That's funny. That was my repentance, too. And also repenting for contradicting you on how many seasons were in Arrested Development.
Thank you.
The original seasons were three. You were right.
I know my Arrested Development. Thank you very much.
And then there were two Netflix seasons. So apologies to all. My bad. Sometimes I drink.
It's a fact. And with that, let's hear a word from my sponsors.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Having problems keeping family home evening exciting and fun? Well, never fear. Tree of Life Games is here to keep your family entertained with our new board game. Hint! Similar to a game that's been around since 1948, but tailored to the good people like us, Hint is a game of murder, mystery, and deceit. The goal? Figure out who killed Joseph Smith with what weapon in what room. Was it Brigham Young with a pair of garments in the library? Was it Mitt Romney with a Book of Mormon in the conservatory? Or was it Marie Osmond with a jello mold in the food storage cellar? Your family will have the time of their lives as they try to solve the mystery of Hint. That's Hint from Tree of Life Games.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 10% off your first purchase. Just use the promo code Brimley at checkout. It's the right thing to do and a tasty way to do it.
We're back. Now we're back.
Perfect.
Let's tell a story. Actually, I have a couple of different stories. Do you mind if I just start first?
That would be lovely.
After you kept mentioning the word shark, the card sharks, the shark tank, I was like thinking about maybe telling the story of when me and my friends had a fake car wash to raise funds to send somebody to France, but really we just wanted money, which is a funny story. Erica, you were there. Who else was there? Beth, Piper. I'll have to do some digging in my brain for that one, but we'll get to that story another time. But the story that I think I should tell and have it be shark-related. Do you know what I'm going to tell you?
Is it the Florida one?
It's the Florida one.
Yep.
So let me tell you guys a story about one of the times we went to Florida. This was, I think, pretty sure. Oh, yes. This was the time I went with Courtney, Tiffany, and our friend Josh, and we were on the Gulf side at the beach. It's like, you know, sunset-ish time, not quite that late. And in the Gulf, over on the Florida side, the Gulf side, for some reason, like the water, I'm sure the tide was out because the water is really low and you have to walk out really far to get deep enough to swim, like right. Really far. And so, I was way the fuck out there and I was with Courtney and we're just paddling around, probably drunk. And all of a sudden, was it me or her that saw the shark first? It was Courtney.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it was Courtney.
Yeah, it was Courtney. There was a dorsal fin up right. Above the water. And she's like, so she's facing out towards the horizon. I'm facing towards the beach. And she's like, oh my God, shark. And I was like, fuck off. Right. You know, like, come on. Don't. Good one, Courtney. And she's like, no, I'm fucking serious. And I turned around just in time to see the dorsal fin go under. And I was like, oh, fuck me. And I am terrified. Well, I should say I was terrified of sharks. I lived in Hawaii for almost 10 years, and so I quickly got over that because I realized most sharks are actually pretty cool and not going to kill you.
Right.
Not every shark is a tiger shark or a great white shark, you know.
Jaws.
Yeah. Anyways, so I don't actually have no idea what kind of shark this was, but it was probably about 6 feet, so it wasn't a huge shark.
But it'll fuck you up.
It was the first time I'd ever been in the ocean with one, and I was really, really fucking scared. And it was circling us, right?
So it just kind of, when it circles you, it just kind of gets smaller, too, yep. Until it gets to wherever the blood source is, right?
Right. Well, how do you know there's a blood source?
I know the story. Go on. Because that would be the only reason why a shark would circle something.
I don't know. So, yeah. So, basically, I watch the dorsal fin go down and then I can't see the shark because it's like the water is not super clear at the time of day, the lighting, like it was just a black hole under there. It might as well have been. Don't get me wrong. The sun was out. It was just the water's not clear. So you can't see. Once the dorsal fin goes down, you can kind of see shadows under there, but that's it, which makes it even fucking scarier.
And you were deep enough that you were treading water, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just barely.
Right.
So you but could it probably was far out. So it was really right. far off the beach.
I've been where you have to, if you want to be able to submerge your body and you actually kind of have to go pretty far out.
Yeah. And it's low tide.
Right.
So I'm looking at the shore and I see the dorsal fin go down and then I'm looking around. I don't see anything. And I see people on the beach like jumping up and down, waving their arms. And I was like, we're fucking dead. We're going to fucking die. We're going to die now. And so I didn't know what to do. I saw the fin pop back up, you know, and then go back down again. And so I just turned and I just started like swimming and like walking out of there.
Right.
And Courtney was like, don't leave me. And I just grabbed onto her and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, we just have to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
But it's too shallow to swim and it's too deep to run. So you're just having to fucking walk and hope that you're not going to get eaten by a goddamn shark. And so we, the shark kept going around us, finally like swam off and we got out of the water. And, I realized later on that night, we didn't know what had happened. We didn't know why it was there, whatever. And I realized later on that night that I had started my period. I had no idea, but I was so mortified that I told everybody that I cut my foot on a seashell. And I told everyone that story for probably like 10 years. Just because I didn't want to admit that I had gotten my period. And I don't know why that's...
Sinner.
I don't know why that's a big deal. Only sinners get their periods.
Now, it reminds me of my birthday when we went to Florida. Same thing. You know, we had to go pretty far out there. And I had heard you had told me your story, which I proceeded to tell everybody, but I told them that you were on your period.
Yeah.
It's like, she told people she cut her foot, but she was on her period.
It makes her a better story, right? When you tell the truth.
But anyways, me and James were way far out there, and I could touch the bottom for sure, but I was definitely wading in it. And then I see you on shore waving your hands at me, telling me to get in. And I'm like, fucking shark. It's like the time she was out here. I was like, but I'm not on my period. And so we get back in and it was a motherfucking dolphin. And I was like, you bitch.
I just saw a fin and I didn't want you to die. That's so funny now because it's like a shark fin and a dolphin fin look absolutely nothing alike and they're totally easy. You'd have to be an idiot to mistake one for the other.
At all. I just saw your reaction. I said, oh, it's time to go.
Yeah. Sorry I messed up your chance to play with dolphins in the
world. I could have been raped by a dolphin.
Is that what you wanted?
Maybe. You know, that's a thing, right? Like, dolphins rape people sometimes.
I've heard that, but I choose not to believe it. What kind of dolphins, anyway? There's a lot of different kinds.
Oh, I don't know.
Bottlenose, spinner.
I've read stories where they're like, oh, yeah, we're having so much fun with this dolphin that's been, imprisoned, essentially.
In captivity.
And you wonder why it's so aggressive. Well, it wants to get the fuck out of there, but it's like, oh, I'll show you, human. I'm going to fucking rape you.
Dolphins are smart as fuck.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are.
There's this place in my old neighborhood in Kahala called the Kahala Hotel. It's very fancy, super nice. But they have a dolphin that's in captivity. Aww. And it just basically swims in a figure eight all day long, super fast. And it's like, it's so heartbreaking because the ocean's right there, like 20 feet away. Maybe a little more than that, but
that should be criminal.
I know. It's like, it's really depressing to watch it because you're just like, it could be free.
I wonder, like, what kind of security they have.
Probably a lot.
I mean, I guess it would cost a lot to replace that dolphin.
Yeah. And it's like a trained dolphin. You know, they do little kid things. The kids get in the water with it and it gets fed and stuff.
It's still depressing.
Yeah. It's depressing. The dolphin's probably happy as fuck. Like, I'm living in this hotel. You know, whatever.
I don't think so. I
don't think so either.
Because I think I read somewhere that dolphins, for fun, can swim like 100 miles a day. Like, and that's just what brings them joy. And when you're in a goddamn pool, 100 miles, I mean, that's
a lot of figure eights.
It's a lot of figure eights. All right, well, that's fucking depressing.
This whole podcast is really sad today.
I'm so sorry. Does mine count as a story?
Should we keep this a short podcast this week?
I'm fine with that. I'm sad, so.
I'm sad, too. I was kind of actually contemplating whether we should even do one this week, because I haven't. It's Sunday night.
This will be released in a few hours.
Yeah, and we just haven't been... It's hard to be in the mood to be entertaining and funny right now.
Right.
So, hopefully we did our best.
I was going to make some sort of period joke. Okay, my jokes are falling flat.
Listen. Oh, that's a drink.
Hey, I'll drink to that.
Listen, we want you guys to make sure that you take care of each other. Make sure that you realize that your life is short and you should take full advantage of it. You know, it could be over in a heartbeat.
Right.
So, you know, don't take what you have for granted and, you know, make sure the people that you love know that you love them. And fuck fentanyl.
Fuck fentanyl.
Yeah. All right. Oh, there's one other thing I wanted to say just just to wrap this up. There's a Instagram account that I just found that I follow that really makes me smile. So I thought maybe that would be something that other people would be interested in. It's this guy. His name's Miles Taylor. He's an athlete with cerebral palsy. His at is @smiles_Taylor. And basically his whole Instagram is just him like working out and like building muscle and stuff. Cause cerebral palsy, it's like a brain thing that happens before you're born, but it affects your muscles and your coordination. So your muscle tone, it is really like nothing in your posture right. And stuff. So he's like always like lifting very small amounts of weights, but like, he's like out there, you know, doing his best or whatever. And he's always like got this shit-eating grin on his face and it's great. So I like that just to see his smile because he's got such a great smile, but I also like it just because it's kind of motivating. Usually, like, at least me, I kind of shy away from like fitness and athletic type related stuff because it's usually just like a bunch of like super hot people in workout clothes posing and right. Making me feel bad about myself. So I like to see the side of it where like somebody's, you know, like having fun trying to make their, you know, make their body better and, you know, have fun doing it. So
well, that's awesome.
Check out smiles_Taylor. It's a pretty inspirational Instagram account.
I like it. Well, it made me think of something too that might be kind of cool because as we talked about Clubhouse earlier, it's a brand new app. It's still in its beta form, so you can sign up for it and you can choose what you want your username to be and it will hold it for you, but you can't get onto the social media until you get an invitation because it's not public yet. I have 5 invitations.
I have a couple as well.
So if we have any listeners who haven't, you have to have an iPhone too. It's not made for Android yet. So if you have an iPhone and you want to be on this platform and maybe we can put together, you know, a Patreon chat or something like that, then, let us know. And I might send you an invitation, but there's only 5. So you better fucking get on it.
Well, don't forget about mine.
7. So we have 7. Yeah. Got 7 all day. So for 7 people with an iPhone, message us on Instagram or Facebook or email us at fhebadmormons@gmail.com and we will get you an invite code and then it will be awesome.
Yeah, check out our website too. We're putting merch up. We've got a new t-shirt, a new coffee mug, and pretty soon we'll have some new drugpolicy.org promotional shirts, which we're going to donate the proceeds of to drugpolicy.org. And make sure you check out our YouTube channel. YouTube channel's gaining a little momentum, so thank you guys so much for that.
Yeah!
Every single person who subscribes gets us a little closer to
not working.
To just doing this full time. Just drinking all day and making me laugh.
Right, my liver's going to need a transplant at some point, and I hope that you guys can help me pay for that.
So thanks so much. One more time, let's welcome Mark Facerberg to our inner circle of patrons. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.